Best in-state companies. If you're looking for a new home, they're the folks you need to talk to. Let Simmons Bank help you make home ownership a reality and help guide you through the process of finding the home loan option that is best for you with competitive rates and personalized service. They've been doing it for over 120 years. They've called Arkansas their home. It started in Pine Bluff and has grown into a premier bank in the Mid-South. Simmons Bank makes banking easy, and now you can open an account with just a few clicks. Their most popular products can be opened online in just minutes. Take it from me. I'm a satisfied customer. No matter where you live, you can find a Simmons branch near you. They also know how to put on a major golf tournament. The Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens 2 years in a row has won best tournament on the tour. So tip of the hat to them. Gives a lot of money to charity. You got to try them out. With almost $30 billion in assets, Simmons Bank continues to grow, but they'll always be local. Join me and many others in making Simmons Bank your bank.
The seasons are always changing, but one thing should stay the same. The comfort of your home. Let the heat and air professionals at B.R. McGinty keep your family warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Call today.
Oaklawn is here for when you want the ultimate escape, all in one place. Check into the luxury hotel. Escape to Astral Spa, the only Forbes four-star rated spa in Arkansas. Indulge at award-winning restaurants like the Bugler or the Oak Room and Bar, all before having the time of your life at the 24/7 smoke-free casino where the energy goes all night. Here, excitement and luxury meet under one roof. Oaklawn Hot Springs. Join the fun. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Injured? Let's talk about getting help now.
Anywhere in the state, dial 888-8888.
Whether injured at night, on a weekend, or a holiday,
dial 8 for Rainwater, Holt, and Sexton.
888-8888.
Responsible attorneys Michael Rainwater and Bob Sexton.
Summer heat can wear you out now, but look, if you've been feeling drained, even when you're inside with the AC kicking, it might not be the heat, y'all. 1 in 4 men, that's 25% of us, have low testosterone, and it affects energy, sex drive, motivation, your mood, and much more. Look, low T drains your energy and motivation, which means you don't have the energy to do the things that you love. Heck, in some cases, guys don't even recognize themselves, man. They lose their identity altogether. Fellas, it's important to get the answers you need. Now's the time. And this summer, it's free. At Low T Center, you can book a free testosterone test and get a consultation from licensed providers who specialize in testosterone replacement therapy. Explore a range of peptides and even get a jump on that summer body that you've been looking for with GLP-1s and medical weight loss protocols. Low T Center has been the number one name in TRT since 2009, y'all. They're the OGs and the pioneers. Visit FixMyLowT.com right now to schedule a free testosterone test today. Y'all, that's FixMyLowT.com. That's FixMyLowT.com.
We all know how busy our lives can be these days and how important our time and convenience is as well. And Edwards Food Giant knows that too. So that's why they're inviting you to take advantage of their heat and eat meal solution items in their deli department. Delicious Edwards Food Giant signature dishes along with a wide choice of entrees and sides all ready for you to pick up and take home to serve your family tonight. The heat and eat meal solutions now at your favorite Central Arkansas Edwards Food Giant deli. This week's special is chicken pot pie for only $7.49 per pound with twice baked potatoes for $4.99 per pound.
This is Trey Schapp. Tune in each Friday morning at 5:30 right here on The Buzz as I bring you From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. If you like to hear interesting stories about the game of golf, this is for you. You can also find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Morning Mayhem, live from the Oaklawn Hot Springs studio.
Oh my goodness me!
Here are David Basil.
He's got Vincent Ontiveroma out.
Roger Scott.
I don't know Chicken Bee Bee Baseball Law.
And Justin Moore.
That's how a pro chef would tell you to eat it.
We'll visit with Justin Moore a little bit later. Man, I tell you, Roger, I've been sending you my feed, my algorithm. Yeah. It's heavy on Joe Nichols, and Joe Nichols is covering all the old favorite Merle Haggard and George Jones. We had a single with George Jones
maybe
the other day.
Maybe because I don't follow very many, and maybe because you get in that algorithm, like you said, and he's a Merle Haggard fan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he does a lot of Merle. Justin covers a song or two,
but what about
of others. I don't know what Joe does.
What about that one where he's singing at the old Grand Ole Opry? We'll have to ask him about that with George Jones, older George Jones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that for them?
What a memory for him.
And for Justin to do the same thing with Kenny and Hank. And
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he ever did one. Hey, shout out to everybody that's starting back to school today right now.
Yes.
I know that up in Northwest Arkansas, Zach is taking my grandson, Beckett, to his second grade, starting second grade. And a beautiful little Hallie is going to kindergarten. So Pop loves you. And Zach, and James Hale just got on a bus going to the first grade. And then... little Oliver is headed to a new school for himself. Not kindergarten yet, but because he's three. But anyway.
They love when Pop says hello to them.
Well, Pop loves them, I tell you. What a blessing they have. And everybody else that's sending your kids off, man, congratulations.
Yeah, we've been talking about this. School is all over the place as far as every day is different. I think every school is opening on a different day, it seems. So. Yep. But anyway, everybody's back in action. Thanks to all the teachers. Bus drivers, cafeteria workers, janitors, all the ones we honor in our deserving dozen. I'm sure we'll do a couple of those this year again, too. I do want to give a shout-out, too, Roger. I was always eat over at Cheers, and Casey and Spencer take good care of me. Casey was saying her husband, Stephen Chandler, works at Impact Fire in North Little Rock, listens every day, she said. So, Stephen, thanks so much.
Thanks,
listen, we don't take it for granted that all of you out there who listen every day, man, it's a blessing, and we're so grateful that you choose to be with us every day. And sometimes we don't always know who all is listening. I go in and somebody says, yeah, my husband listens to you guys every day. Love it. Have no idea until you tell us that kind of stuff. So thanks, Stephen. Appreciate that. And Casey and Spencer, thanks for always taking good care of me.
I go in there
with my laptop. Every restaurant in town knows I come in there with my laptop. Yeah, yeah. I got to have my internet
service.
It's
your thing now. Yeah, it's your thing now. I know there's a couple of fellas that I don't know that they listen until down at Mainline Sports Bar where we do trivia. After I give them their prize or tell them thanks for covering them, whatever, they'll go strength and honor.
Strength and honor. Very nice.
That's cool. And again, we're blessed that you listen. Thank you.
So we're going to bring in Rick Schaefer in just a second. If you just joined the show, with the passing of Billy Ray Smith, the junior, the other day, I saw a lot of comments, and I got comments where they said, hey, Billy Ray was one of my heroes growing up. He was my... You know, one of the guys I really love as a kid watching play. So we we got a dead period this week until we get the touchdown club announcement Thursday. We were just talking about the players that you sort of remember and looked up to or idolized or whatever. And we've had them from. I got one here from Keith. He was 83. He's a buddy.
Uh-oh.
He's got Lance Allworth. He's got Lance Allworth and Billy Moore.
Nice.
How about that? He's 83, Keith Wetzel, and said, "Listen, yeah,
there you go.
I love it." So we got all the way from 20-year-olds who now are. You know, the ones we've just seen the last few years. So we're just sort of going through those and just reminiscing a little bit. Let's bring in Rick Schaefer there, Roger. We got a lot to cover with Rick, too.
Listen, mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
Good morning.
Ziggity diggity.
Good morning, Rick Schaefer. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, do I get a white horse named Silver to go with this? Can you all provide that?
You betcha.
That would be really cool.
You betcha.
Yeah.
A lot to cover. First things first, Rick, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, how was your Friday with and Saturday with the baseball weekend in Hot Springs?
10.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, and I always thank – Steve Arison began, who's retiring now.
Yeah.
I always thank Steve Arison, but we need to thank Derek Phillips, too, because Derek is going to work with us on the baseball weekend and work to set that up. Although Steve said he's already working on next year's lineup. But the interviews we had Friday, every year you think it's great.
Yep.
Last year we had Johnny Bench and Ferguson Jenkins among our interviews, and they were both good. The three interviews we had Friday might have been the best we've ever had. Fred McGriff was just, his personality just overflows. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. But our interview with Jack Morris is one of the best I've ever been a part of. And he was so relaxed and just talking. And he told Steve Arison, he told him that night, he said he really enjoyed that interview, thought the questions were good. I think we probably asked him some things he's not used to getting asked. And that was really nice. Al Roboski came on at the end, was very good. Dale Murphy
great.
Dale Murphy, and he made a case. I don't know if I agree with him or not, but, boy, he made a case for Ted Turner being in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is a pretty special place, but his point was, and he's right, he changed the way people watch baseball on television. Yeah. Now, my grandparents, I have grandparents in the Chicago area and grandparents in the St. Louis area. And I can remember as a kid visiting in St. Louis, and my grandmother would have the Cardinal games on TV, but we couldn't get the Cardinal games.
Right.
You only got them in St. Louis. And WGN was on in Chicago at that time, but only in Chicago. So if we went up there, I could watch the Cubs on TV, but only in Chicago. WTBS allowed everybody in America to watch the Atlanta Braves.
Right.
And Dale Murphy pointed out that they weren't very good. They, you know, they had one team, 1982. They made the playoffs. And other than that, they were okay at times. I remember going to a doubleheader in Atlanta in 1987. They played the Cincinnati Reds, and there were less than 10,000 people
right,
there.
Right, right.
So, but they all knew Dale Murphy. They all knew who the Braves were.
Bob Horner, all of those guys.
Oh, yeah. And so, and Murph played there right before they got good.
Yeah.
He got traded to the Phillies during the 1990 season, and in 1991 they're in the World Series.
Yeah.
And then Fred McGriff came in 93 and played on the team that won the World Series in 1995. So it was just, I don't want to recount all of that, but it was a great weekend. And then the next day, Dave Stewart, who got there too late to be on our show, and I hate that now after hearing him, he was really, really good. Al Roboski was good. I just have to share that Bill Lee's a little too far out there for me.
He's still out there, right?
Oh, my gosh. You know, he's a little out there. And you could tell the other guys accommodated him, but it's not like they thought he was real serious about the game. Other than he does love the game of baseball, but he's a wacko. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
well,
thank you for asking.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. Gosh, if you're a collector, they had in the past, they've had collect dealers set up on the floor there, and there's a lot of room in the convention center. This time, they were upstairs, too. They were in every room. Everywhere you could put a card dealer, they were there. And, you know, there were some, I guess, for the kids. They liked the Pokemon. There was a lot of that, too. But just really cool to be there.
Well, again, you got to give credit to Steve Arison for knowing, understanding, and using the history of baseball in Hot Springs to realize that would be a great idea. So give him credit. And, of course, his replacement, Devin, he's got his work cut out, but he's a nice guy. He's got his work cut out for him. But anyway, good for you. I knew you would be in.
We'll work together.
Yeah, I knew you would be. You and Randy, I was watching you guys a little bit and could see the joy on your face being able to ask these questions. And then yesterday, Roger, I called. I got to give credit to Best of Arkansas Sports for finding this story. I think Ray Tucker went into the Arkansas Sports Broadcaster Hall of Fame last week.
Yeah.
And apparently he told the story and somebody from Best of Arkansas Sports heard it. About Lou Holtz is doing his coach's show, Roger, at Channel 7. Well, somehow Wally Hall knew Morgana and her husband. I don't know. We got to ask Wally that. She apparently stayed at Wally's house. So Wally have let Morgana know that Coach Holtz tapes his coach's show every Sunday. He'd fly down from or drive down or stay here after the game at War Memorial and do the show at Channel 7 and then go back up there. Well, they've got it set up where – apparently, Morgana calls Ray Tucker and says, I'm here, you know, let me in. So, apparently, without Lou Holtz knowing, Morgana runs into the studio, plants a big kiss on Lou. Mm-hmm. We don't have any film of it or whatever, and runs out of there. And Lou didn't know what to do. He was in. So, of course, Ray never told Lou, because at that time, Ray was working for Channel 7, never told Lou that's what it was. Anyway, there's a picture of Lou Holtz holding a picture of Morgana. I don't know when it was, but apparently he was talking about it. But and then, of course, yesterday, Rick was trying to describe to everybody. Morgana called her the kissing bandit. And then the best description I've heard, what did you say, Ricky, in describing her, I think, which was appropriate?
She was famous for kissing baseball players.
Yes.
And she got Johnny Bench. She got Cal Ripken Jr. I'm sure she got a bunch of others. And I guess the ownership – or the stadium's just
let her do it.
Yep. So she would run out on the field and kiss these guys, usually in the batter's box. Well, back then the radar guns, the company, because it was the company, they were called Jugs Guns. And I think that pretty well describes Morgana.
So Rick brings that up on stage. Randy's like, whoa. And that's maybe the edgiest you'll ever hear Rick Schaefer get, but I thought it was a wonderful description.
Ziggity diggities.
They thought it was much more appropriate for your show than ours.
Well, there is such thing as a Jugs gun.
And yeah, that's right.
If you're describing Morgana, I mean, she was more than a kissing bandit because she was... And you're right, Rick. Nobody stopped her. Back, you know, you can't do that now because you're worried about.
Oh no!
But they would, and they would. I remember she went to the mound. She not only went to the plate, she went to the mound a few times.
Did she?
And so, but that was the thing. We don't know if she's still alive or not. And we got to talk.
Looks like she's still with us.
Ray Tucker said yes. Okay. She's still alive.
We need to track her down, and we need to get Wally Hall to go. How did Wally Hall? How did her and her husband spend the night? But I'm telling you, Lou Holtz didn't know. You made a good point. He was obviously madly
shocked.
In love with his wife, and he was probably embarrassed about that. Hey, watch out with those two things right there, Morgana. Because you know she was a national figure. I mean, everybody knew who she was at the time. So anyway,
I assume he did. And so did they know she? Why was he holding a picture of her?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that happened there.
Did somebody warn him?
I don't know. I don't know if that picture was from there. It looked like it was in a newsroom because it looked like, you know, like an office in there. So I don't know. That's the other part we'll have to ask Rick.
Maybe later he was finding out who she was. Well, who was that woman that came in?
But
here?
I'm telling you, when Rick dropped the Jugs gun yesterday, only Rick could come up with a Jugs, which was a great description. For the kids out there that don't know, that's all they need to hear. Someone said, Roger here from the 501, we need a Listen, Mister every day. We play Listen, Mister. A lot of times Roger will play that during the open in our show in the morning.
I do need that if you could capture that.
Or the Listen, Mister, or shut up. That's a very popular.
You got to be careful what you say. Let me tell those people something. Shut up.
Hey, the other thing today, Rick's been a lot of fun because of Billy Ray Smith passing. I've had a lot of people tell me, and we've gotten on this show, hey, he was our, you know, as a kid, that was who I sort of looked up to, and he was one of my favorite Razorback players as a kid. So we just, you know, in this sort of slow week this week, we've been reminiscing about who was your first Razorback, you know, hero. And we've had we've asked all the listeners to put their age in there. And we have had, you know, 100 text messages. Like, for example, here's one. Steve from Darnell. I'm 72 now. In the late 60s, there were exhibition games between the Chargers and the Oilers. I befriended Danny Brabham, a former Razorback, by writing him a fan letter. We stayed friends until he passed. I attended one of the exhibition games as his guest at War Memorial. Got to meet Lance Allworth and still have his chin strap. Heavy duty, great memories for a kid growing up. So all these wonderful things. Here's when I'm 69. I remember when they played with a pig bladder before the Wilson leather ball. I remember a bunch of those great players. And of course, he said Niles Davis was one that nobody's mentioned, the more recent one. But we've mentioned, here's one, Carlos Hall.
He was with the Chiefs.
Fred Talley, he did. I mean, there's so many. Somebody said my favorite is David Basil. You know, I got a few of those. Old 53 was a team captain. I wasn't the Brad Taylor or the James Shea Best. But you never know, Rick, when you were 12 or 13 years old or 8 years old, who's watching.
No.
I remember as a player, Rick, I remember I was a team captain, and I always remembered people are watching. And that for me, I remember going out there, and I'm playing for those farmers down in Lake Village. I'm playing for the field worker wherever in South Arkansas.
The little boy in the housing project.
Yeah, the little boy, Roger Scott.
Absolutely. That's
looking.
Do you
think there's a single player today that thinks that way?
No, probably not.
That's really sad. And I love hearing you say that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's a single player today that thinks about who they're playing for.
Well, you know, I heard one player the other day say it, and it's a one-off because most of these guys are shipped in and shipped out.
Yeah.
And but
no disrespect to anybody that doesn't.
Well, they don't come here for that. They didn't come here. They came here because it was a good situation
for
them.
But even then, I didn't even think about you guys thinking about that.
Oh, I did.
I
remember when I would go out and I would train by myself in the stands. I remember thinking, I'm going to run this extra lap for – you know,
awesome.
That guy sitting over there in Conway or whatever.
That's
that was
motivation.
My
motivation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the way I think. Here's one that says, I'm growing up. I'm 60. I'm 60, but growing up, I was a Cal Cagney fan. Roger was talking about the transition with all the great Bruins teams into that late 70s with Cal Cagney and Scanlon and then the transition, you know, with Brad Taylor and Gary Anderson, and all the great kickers we had. I mean, he had so many to choose from for many, many decades, you know, two, three decades there in a row before we sort of hit some tough spots in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, as one that grew up in Oklahoma, but a Razorback fan, so I didn't know the players as intimately as people that grew up in Arkansas did, but John Brittenham and Bobby Crockett.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, Brittenham was the quarterback and man, you know, had a song, but who can ever forget the 1965 Texas game? Up 20-0, down 24-20, and then it was either four or five, I think it was five plays in a row, Brittenham hit Crockett. Five plays in a row.
That's crazy.
Down to the 1 yard line, and then Brittenham sneaks in for a touchdown. And it, we didn't know it at the time, but Jim Lindsay's the one that gave the inspirational speech in the huddle. And I also didn't realize at the time, or really even later, about Lindsay had bruised ribs and didn't play much in that game. So when they needed to score, they sent him out there.
Yeah.
And he's the one that went in the huddle and said, guys, we're going 80 yards for a touchdown. We're going to win this game. And they did. And can you imagine, back then, I don't know how much zone coverage they did and all that. We're talking about 1965, and people ran more than they threw. But can you imagine five straight completions to the same guy? And that's Texas, the number one team in the country.
That's crazy.
And they couldn't stop the play.
Yeah, I love that.
And his last catch at the 1 yard line, I mean, he's catching it as he's going out of bounds, just a sensational catch. So I think of John Brittenham and Bobby Crockett, and then as you're getting a little bit older, and now it's Bill Montgomery, Chuck Dykus, and Bill Burnett.
Which would be Tommy Smith. We always talked about Chuck Dykus and his taped up shoes and his ankles.
Oh, he was cool. That's right. He was. He was cool before people were cool. That was really nice.
Think about this too, Rick. You know, and here's what our buddy Kime, who's over in Spain, actually listened. He said, I'm 62. And he said, 1975, Ben Cowens, Ike Forte, the 31-6 mm-hmm. Arkansas went over Texas A&M. But it's really a remarkable how, you know, you were in the middle of that, Rick, and you don't really appreciate those things that are going on. You're working and you're getting to know all of us, all the players, and yet while that's happening, you got Roger and, you know, people around us, all these people who are listeners who are saying, these are great memories I had in the 70s, 80s, now, and even recently. You know, you got a 12-year-old kid who loves Grant Morgan now, who was a scrapper.
Good.
And the winning, you know, the winning hadn't been as good, Rick, you know, the last 15 years. No. And so, you know, Roger was saying, you know, it's just hard to find, you know, you don't have, when you're losing, it's hard to find star players. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's, you look back in the Houston Nutt era, you know, you all of a sudden have that turnaround and then you put Petrino, and then all of a sudden, man, it's like you've had like 2 years of the last 15 where you really be happy about success. But you still had some players. You still had some good players throughout those years, too. Sure.
Yeah, the 9-4 season. That was really a special year. But I got to tell you, you mentioned him. For best name, I loved him the whole time he was at Arkansas. Bumper Pool.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest names ever. I can remember when Trey Biddy had come on, and you're recruiting this guy and you're recruiting that guy, and he named Bumper Pool. I said, you got to get Bumper Pool.
Yeah.
What a wonderful football name that was.
Sure. Well, you know, it's another thing, too. Here's one I say. I'm 59 years old. It's got to be Tony Cherico. Remember, back then, we didn't have access we didn't have social media, so we didn't have access to see video every day, and so we relied on Sports Illustrated article. We relied on the Arkansas Gazette and the Arkansas Democrat.
Right.
And thank goodness for the newspaper wars for folks here in Arkansas, because of that competition, you got a ton of stories every day. That's one of the reasons I came here. I had alumni that was down in Panama City kept sending me every day the newspaper covers. I said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. You know, where I live, you got 18 teams, you know, from Alabama to Florida to Georgia that gets, you know, press. Here in Arkansas, you got two papers that are spending 15 pages a day. It was crazy, Rick, and I thought that was normal. I had no idea about the newspaper war.
It wasn't just those two in Central Arkansas, but in Northwest Arkansas, Fayetteville had a paper, Springdale had a paper.
Yeah.
The Benton County Record covered Rogers and Bentonville. And part of my duty as sports information director is every morning I went and had to read what they were saying. And the Tulsa World, their second largest circulation area was Washington County.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would read five newspapers every morning before I could do anything else, unless there was some meeting or something urgent that morning, because you had to keep up with what they were saying. And I have to say that there were times I learned things that I didn't know.
Yeah.
By reading those things. And of course, the greatest guy for getting information that nobody else had was Nate Allen.
Yeah.
Who worked for the Arkansas Gazette for years, because back then, you know, the coach would talk and he'd go to practice and figure out if somebody wasn't there. Out of 100 guys, he'd figure out if somebody wasn't there. He'd go talk to them, and the next day he'd have something that nobody else had. Now, as far as anything big that nobody else had, Orville got it. Orville Henry got it first all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which made everybody angry, everybody jealous. And I remember when I came as assistant sports information director, and Orville's son, Butch, was the SID, and I came here as his assistant, and people would ask me, "You going to be fair? Is Orville going to get everything like he always did?" Well, I didn't know anything about that. And I said, "Well, I don't know why I wouldn't. Yeah, sure, we'll give it to whoever." But as long as Orville was around and Coach Broyles was around, if it was big, he was going to get it first.
Yeah, it just it was a lot of information, of course, and you got to know the players better. That's the thing you're missing now. You don't have they control the narrative more. You don't have as many people doing stories. They're trying now. Listen, there's a lot of organizations and podcasters that are covering more Hogs stuff than ever before. Yeah. You don't always have access to the players like you used to do as a sports information director. But I still love that. I see somebody Pinto. I'm 69. John Brittenham. I'll never forget how much Bumper Pool gave our program. You couldn't deny his love for the Hawks. He played what? Did he play 5 years? Yeah, he actually played 5 years, and that's why he's an all-time tackle leader.
Well, for me, when Ferguson is there, and then Ferguson goes into Buffalo, so you're following him there, and you're doing all that. So with Ike Forte and Ben Cowens and all of those guys, and again, I mean, Ron Calcagni was probably, I mean, still to me is a hero. And then Scanlon.
He's a hero, absolutely. You know, Roland Sales gets all the credit for that game.
Yep.
But Ron Calcagni engineered it. Yeah. And he had the game plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you probably heard the story he tells about Lou Holtz before the game. Told him, you know, you're gonna be the star, you're going to be the hero, and you're going to score the first touchdown. And so on the third play of the game, Oklahoma fumbled. And the ball went back to its own 8-yard line. Arkansas recovers. And on third and one, they sent in the play that Roland Sales was going to score, was going to run. And Ron Calcagni turned around and looked like, because he's on first down, he took it down close. And he's looking back because Holtz told him he was going to score the first touchdown. But they gave it to Sales and he scored. And then, of course, Holtz told him later, Roland Sales was playing in place of Ben Cowens, who was a great player. And he said, we had to get him that confidence to start the game. I knew you were confident, and that's the way it worked out.
What a great memory. Again, you hate to always live in the past, but right now it's a fun place to go because you can go there, you know.
Wouldn't it be great if next year we're playing Chuck's calls instead of Paul's calls because Arkansas wins 8 or 9 games that nobody could see that coming? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be amazing. So, well, Rick, thanks so much. Always good to chop it up with you. Keep Randy in line in the afternoon. I told Randy, I told the guys yesterday we want to continue to cross-promote. We want to get Randy on the show. He doesn't have to get here at 6 o'clock in the morning like
Tampa.
Well,
I'm guessing Thursday we're going to get you on the show to tell us who all these great guests are going to have.
That's right. I'll be on there Thursday.
We don't want to just read a list. We want to hear you talk about it.
Yes, I'll be glad to do that. Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that.
Well, thanks Jugs. Yeah, I mean, Rick.
All right, funny,
Rick.
Roger.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Rick Schaefer.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day. Thanks to Edwards Food Giant for sponsoring Rick Schaefer every week.
You know, I saw.